Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the September 16th, 2025 regular meeting of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Yes, Supervisor Chan.
Present.
Chan, present. Supervisor Chen.
Present.
Chen, present. Supervisor Dorsey. Dorsey, not present. Supervisor Engardio.
Present.
Engardio, present. Supervisor Fielder.
Present.
Fielder, present. Supervisor Mahmood. Mahmood, present. Supervisor Mandelman.
Present.
Mandelman, present. Supervisor Melgar.
Present.
Melgar, present. Supervisor Sauter.
Present.
Sauter, present. Supervisor Cheryl.
Present.
Cheryl, present. Supervisor Walton.
Present.
Walton, present. Mr. President, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Colleague Supervisor Dorsey has jury duty today and has requested to be excused. Can I have a motion to excuse him? Moved by Sauter, seconded by Cheryl. Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll on that motion?
Yes. Supervisor Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Supervisor Melgar.
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Supervisor Sauter.
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Supervisor Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Supervisor Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. Supervisor Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. Supervisor Chen.
Aye.
Chen, aye. Supervisor Engardio.
Aye.
Engardio, aye. Supervisor Fielder.
Aye.
Fielder, aye. Supervisor Mahmood. Mahmood, aye. There are 10 ayes.
Without objection, Supervisor Dorsey is excused from today's meeting. And the San Francisco Board of Supervisors acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and by affirming their rights as First Peoples. Colleagues, will you join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance? On behalf of the board, I want to acknowledge the staff at SFGovTV, and today that is especially for Kalina Mendoza. They record each of our meetings and make the transcripts available to the public online. Madam Clerk, do you have any communications?
Yes, Mr. President. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors welcomes you to attend this meeting at City Hall in the board's legislative chamber, second floor, room 250, or you may watch the proceedings on SFGov TV's channel 26 or view the live stream at www.sfgovtv.org. You may also submit your public comment by sending an email to bos@sfgov.org or via U.S. Postal Service to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, 1 Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, City Hall, Room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. To make a future reasonable accommodation request under the Americans with Disabilities Act or to request language assistance, please contact the clerk's office at least 2 business days in advance by calling 415-554-5184. Members, Mr. President, that concludes the communication.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Let's go to the consent agenda. Please call items 1 through 10 together.
Items 1 through 10 are on consent. These items are considered routine. If a member objects, an item may be removed and considered separately.
Please call the roll on the consent agenda.
On items 1 through 10, Supervisor Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Supervisor Melgar.
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Supervisor Sauter.
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Supervisor Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Supervisor Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. Supervisor Chan. Chan, aye. Supervisor Chen. Chen, aye. Supervisor Engardio.
Aye.
Engardio, aye. Supervisor Fielder.
Aye.
Fielder, aye. Supervisor Mahmood. Mahmood, aye. There are 10 ayes.
Without objection, the ordinances are finally passed and the resolutions are adopted. Madam Clerk, let's go to unfinished business. Please call items 11 and 12.
Items 11 and 12 comprise two settlements. Item 11 is an ordinance to authorize a partial settlement of the lawsuit filed on behalf of the city and the people of the state of California against trust for the benefit of members of the Raymond Sackler family for abatement funds in the range of $8 to $12 million to be paid over 15 years. The lawsuit involves allegations that Purdue and Sacklers contributed to the opioid crisis by incentivizing the sale and use of opioids, despite knowledge of the growing epidemic caused by opioid misuse. Item 12 is an ordinance filed by the City and County of San Francisco against AT&T Corp. and Pacific Bell Telephone Company for approximately $15.4 million. The lawsuit involves allegations that AT&T and other telecommunication companies knowingly undercollected and under-remitted amounts due under the Access Line Tax Ordinance in violation of the California False Claims Act.
I think we can take 11 and 12, same house, same call, without objection. The ordinances are finally passed. Madam Clerk, let's go to new business. Please call item number 13.
Item number 13 is an ordinance to amend the planning code to waive certain development impact fees in the Market and Octavia area plan, to amend the Van Ness and Market Residential Special Use District to provide that the Market and Octavia Community Advisory Committee shall sunset 6 months after the effective date of this ordinance, and to make conforming amendments to some of the definitions in the planning code to affirm the CEQA determination and make the appropriate findings.
Supervisor Chan.
Thank you, President Mandelman and colleagues. I think this one is a very tough one. Originally, the fee waiver is for the entire area, for all the, not only for the approved developments, but also the for the approved developments in the pipeline that has permit or final approval and construction, potentially getting a construction permit by January 2026, as well as those that actually have yet to receive approval at all prior to January 2026. I think in conversation with President Mandelman and Supervisor Dorsey, which is vice chair on the budget committee, who actually made that motion, that I do agree that, you know, we should have set some limit to it. I propose a 5-year sunset date. There seems to be some conversation around that. But ultimately, we landed in a space where we eliminated a project that have yet to be approved and limited to 26 projects that has been approved and in the pipeline, that they are anticipating getting the final approval or the construction permits by January 2026. I do want to caution us, though, as we continue to potentially see more of these impact fee waivers. With that amendment at the budget committee, what happened was that we were anticipating about $135 million of fee waiver. With the amendment, now we're expecting roughly about $81 million of fee waiver. But that's at the expense of affordable housing, infrastructure, and as well as community facilities. Those are the critical community benefits that ought to be really benefiting that very same area. I know that with these fee waiver, according to information provided by the Office of Economic and Workforce Development, is that we will then boost housing developments, of course, including some are affordable housing development and production with these fee waiver due to the current economy. I can understand that argument, and I can see that as a part of the investments to have more housing in that very area that we want to see more, and given in its proximity to mid-market. But I think that I will not be in supportive seeing more of the impact fee waivers, should we actually gonna have more in the coming months. So for that, thank you.
Thank you, Chair Chan. Supervisor Fielder.
Thank you, President Mandelman. Colleagues, I am grateful that this item has been amended to include only the current pipeline projects rather than eliminate the impact fees altogether. This measure is permanently reneging on long-standing commitments to Market and Octavia Area Plan communities. While the Market and Octavia Area Plan predominantly covers neighboring districts, there is a small portion that includes District 9. In fact, just 2 years ago, this board unanimously denied an appeal to waive community impact fees for a District 9 development within the Market and Octavia Area Plan. With this ordinance, we will be forfeiting $81 million in lost revenue for communities. That is losing over $47 million of revenue for community infrastructure and over $33 million in affordable housing fees. We have a housing element mandate to build 46,000 affordable homes, yet we are undermining that very mandate by waiving essential affordable housing investment. I understand that the proponents for this ordinance argue that these 26 pipeline projects are desperately needed and that some of these projects have been stalled for up to 5 years. What is still not evident is that waiving these impact fees will actually create any new housing. Our planning department itself has acknowledged that economic conditions such as high interest rates and construction costs are responsible for our housing construction delays, not impact fees. While eviction rates are skyrocketing, higher than ever in San Francisco, while rents are rising, we are continuing on a dangerous path towards giveaways for developers and private interests at the expense of housing working families. Developer giveaways like this further prove that San Francisco is becoming a place only affordable to the wealthy. And for these reasons, I will be voting no. Thank you.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
On item 13, Supervisor Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Supervisor Melgar. Melgar, aye. Supervisor Sauter.
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Supervisor Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Supervisor Walton.
No.
Walton, no. Supervisor Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. Supervisor Chen.
Aye.
Chen, aye. Supervisor Engardio.
Aye.
Engardio, aye. Supervisor Fielder.
No.
Fielder, no. Supervisor Mahmoud. Mahmoud, aye. There are 8 ayes and 2 noes, with Supervisors Walton and Fielder voting no.
The ordinance is passed on first reading. Madam Clerk, please call item number 14.
Item number 14 is an ordinance to deappropriate $400,000 from general city responsibility and approximately $14,000 from the Department of Public Works and appropriate for District 7 projects in the amount of approximately $164,000 to DPW for median improvements in Monterey Heights, new curb ramps in Westwood Park, sidewalk repair in Ingleside Terraces, and for Westwood Park pillars, to the Department of DCYF for playground update and blacktop at West Portal Elementary School, and for a mural and signage and updates at Commodore Sloat Elementary. $50,000 to the Arts Commission for a mural on Monterey Boulevard, and $50,000 to the OEWD for a series of art pop-ups on Ocean Avenue.
Please call the roll.
On item 14, Supervisor Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Supervisor Melgar.
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Supervisor Sauter. Sauter, aye. Supervisor Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Supervisor Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. Supervisor Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. Supervisor Chen. Chen, aye. Supervisor Engardio.
Aye.
Engardio, aye. Supervisor Fielder.
Aye.
Fielder, aye. Supervisor Mahmoud. Mahmoud, aye. There are 10 ayes.
Without objection, the ordinance is passed on first reading. Madam Clerk, please call item 15.
Item number 15 is a resolution to approve modification number 5 to airport contract project management support services for the San Francisco International Airport International Terminal Building Phase 2 project with AGS Incorporated to increase the contract amount by $2.85 million for a total not to exceed amount of $12.5 million and extend the contract term for services by 187 days from June 27, 2026, for a total term of June 16, 2020 through December 31st, 2026.
We can take this same house, same call. Without objection, the resolution is adopted. Madam Clerk, please call item 16.
Item number 16 is a resolution to authorize the Recreation and Park Department to accept in-kind grant from the Union Square Alliance valued at approximately $300,000 for sound system improvements at the Union Square Plaza stage.
And again, same house, same call. Without objection, the resolution is adopted. Madam Clerk, please call item 17.
Item number 17 is a resolution to authorize the execution, delivery, and performance of the First Amendment to Port Lease to the Port Lease for Building 49 located at 701 Illinois Street within Crane Cove Park between the Port of San Francisco and the Young Men's Christian Association to eliminate the provision which would reduce by $6,000 the amount of rent credits that are intended to offset operation and maintenance costs with the public restrooms and provide $150,000 in new rent credits to partially offset unexpected costs related to improving the structural condition of Building 49.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the resolution is adopted. Madam Clerk, please call item 18.
Item number 18 is an ordinance to amend the Business Tax Regulations Code to reduce the tax rate on gross receipts from telecommunication business activities by moving those activities from Category 5 to Category 4 for purposes of the gross receipts tax and the homelessness gross receipts tax, and to retain taxpayers' eligibility to take the tax credit for opening a physical location in designated areas of the city. This item, pursuant to Business and Tax Regulations Code 2811, requires approval by a supermajority or at least 8 members of the Board of Supervisors.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the ordinance is passed on first reading. Madam Clerk, please call item 19.
Item number 19 is a resolution to authorize the mayor's chief of staff, chief of public safety, assistant chief of public safety, policy advisor, and the chief of the fire department to solicit donations from various private entities and organizations to support the provision of cancer screening for eligible fire department employees for 6 months from the effective date of this resolution.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the resolution is adopted. Madam Clerk, please call item 20.
Item number 20 is an ordinance to amend the subdivision code to establish procedures regarding resale prices, capital improvement costs, marketing and sales, policy for conveyance through inheritance, title changes, owning, occupying, and refinancing below market rate condominium conversion units, and clarifying effective dates for requirements applicable to BMR units purchased on or after October 1st, 2025.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the ordinance is passed on first reading. Madam Clerk, please call item 21.
Item number 21 is an ordinance to amend the building code to remove local requirements regarding commercial lighting, rooftop mechanical penthouses, driveway and sidewalk load limits, and the Slope Protection Act to affirm the CEQA determination and make appropriate findings.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the ordinance is passed on first reading. Madam Clerk, please call item 22.
Item number 22 is an ordinance to amend the health code to clarify the city's enhanced ventilation standards by codifying the requirement that all new buildings and major renovations of buildings that contain a sensitive use certify that the building's ventilation system is capable of maintaining positive pressure and making appropriate findings.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the ordinance is passed on first reading. Madam Clerk, please call item 23.
Item number 23 is an ordinance to order the summary vacation of a public service easement for public utility purposes at 112 Kensington Way, authorize the city to quitclaim its interest in the vacation area to Kevin Jenkins and Lalitha for $20,000 to affirm the CEQA determination and make the appropriate findings.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the ordinance is passed on first reading. Madam Clerk, please call item 24.
Item 24 is a resolution to grant revocable permission to Bridge Potrero Community Associates, LLC, to maintain encroachments in the public right-of-way, including but not limited to custom paving materials, benches, landscaping, irrigation, drainage facilities, walkways, and retaining walls, delegate authority to the Public Works Director to assign responsibility, and adopt the appropriate findings.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the resolution is adopted. Madam Clerk, please call item 25.
Item number 25 is a resolution to urge a preventative, interagency, and data-driven approach to ending severe and fatal traffic crashes by designing and enforcing safer streets for all San Franciscans, with a particular focus on protecting children, seniors, and other vulnerable populations.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the resolution is adopted. Madam Clerk, please call item 26.
Item 26 is a motion to appoint Amanda Pyle to the Children and Families First Commission, term ending October 8th, 2026.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the motion is approved. Madam Clerk, please call item 27.
Item 27 is a motion to approve the mayor's nomination for the appointment of Jordan Wilson to the Entertainment Commission for a term ending July 1st, 2029.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the motion is approved. Madam Clerk, please call item 28.
Item number 28 is a motion to approve the mayor's nomination for the reappointment of Bianca Newman to the Building Inspection Commission, term ending July 1st, 2027.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the motion is approved. And Madam Clerk, let's go to our committee reports.
Item 29 was considered by the Rules Committee at a regular meeting on Monday, September 15, 2025. It is a motion to approve President Raphael Mandelman's nomination for the reappointment of Elizabeth Alexander Tutt to the Building Inspection Commission, term ending July 1st, 2027.
Same house, same call. Without objection, the motion is approved. And let's go to roll call.
First up on roll call today is Mr. President.
All right. I have two items today, colleagues. Wanted to let you know that I'll be having my fifth hearing on traffic enforcement in San Francisco on September 25th at the Public Safety and Neighborhood Services Committee. If Chair Dorsey were here, I would thank him. I want to thank the other members of the committee for finding time for us to continue our ongoing dialogue with SFPD and SFMTA on the topic. And I want to thank Supervisor Sherrill for signing on as a co-sponsor. We do have some good news ahead of this hearing. The steep and steady decline in traffic citations going back to 2014 appears to have finally stopped, and we have seen a modest but sustained increase in citations. The latest reports show a 21% increase in traffic citations for the first half of 2025 compared to the first half of 2024, and that's after a 59% increase in citations for 2024 over 2023. We're also beginning to see measurable positive results from the speed safety cameras installed at 33 locations in the city earlier this year. Last week, I joined Walk SF and the Eureka Valley Neighborhood Association, my district, to celebrate the 15% decrease in speeding events during the first 2 months of operation of a camera on Market between Danvers and Douglas, where multiple homes had been crashed into over the years and cars as well parked on the side of the street. Overall, the corridors where cameras have been installed have seen an average 30% reduction in speeding, with the biggest changes on high-volume corridors like Fulton, which saw a 63% decrease over 13 weeks, Geneva, which saw a 45% decrease over 8 weeks, and Bayshore Boulevard, which saw a 40% decrease over 7 weeks. Now, this is not to say that there's not more work to do. There's lots. SFPD's traffic company remains woefully understaffed, and enforcement levels, even with the increases I described, remain far below 2014 levels. And although we're seeing improvements in vehicle speeds in locations where we have been able to install speed cameras, state law currently prevents us from wider use of that technology. Nonetheless, it's important to acknowledge progress where we see it, and it does seem like we finally have some clear signs of progress. At this hearing, we're going to explore how to build on that progress. Over the last decade, SFMTA has installed traffic calming infrastructure improvements across the city, but frankly, without the improvements in traffic fatality and severe injury data that we would all like to see, and thank you, Supervisor Melgar, TA Chair Melgar, for your leadership, and congratulations on your resolution that we just passed. I believe that enforcement has been the missing element, and I'm hopeful that as we finally are able to add increased enforcement to the mix, we will finally be able to move or to approach our goal of zero traffic fatalities and severe injuries. As I've said before, we can and should use every tool that we can to protect the lives of pedestrians and make our streets safer for our most vulnerable residents, and in my view, enforcement must be in the toolbox. Secondly, colleagues, today I'm introducing an ordinance to give the Board of Supervisors the same behested payment waiver authority already available to departments, the mayor, and other elected officials. In 2022, voters passed Proposition E, which prohibited elected officials, department heads, commissioners, and designated employees from soliciting donations from interested parties unless they obtained from the Board of Supervisors a behested payment waiver based on a board finding that the waiver would be in the best interest of the public. In the 3 years since Prop E's passage, this board has been asked for and allowed behested payment waivers to procure fire trucks for the San Francisco Fire Department, expand shelter beds, deliver immigrant legal services, address the fentanyl crisis, and the list goes on and on. However, for reasons that are not clear to me, have never been clear to me, Prop E does not allow members of the Board of Supervisors to seek or obtain such waivers. In my view, that exclusion makes no sense. Supervisors are often the closest to our communities. We hear directly from neighbors and community organizations about their needs, and we're well positioned to help direct philanthropic dollars toward urgent and emerging priorities. Yet among elected and appointed officials, we are, again, uniquely excluded from the possibility of a waiver, no matter the public interest that might be served. Happily, this exclusion can be changed by a two-thirds vote of this board and concurrence by the Ethics Commission. And as the city is entering a period of sustained budgetary challenges with a hostile federal administration threatening the funding of important local priorities, I think it is time to pursue that change. The ordinance I'm introducing today would allow the board to grant waivers to supervisors based on the same finding of public interest currently used to justify waivers for other elected officials. Any waiver resolution would identify potential donors when known, describe the purpose of the solicitations, and explain how the waiver is in the public interest. Waivers for supervisors would remain subject to the same scrutiny and accountability standards as every other behested payment waiver. I want to thank Melanie Mathewson in my office for all her work on this ordinance, Director Patrick Ford and Michael Canning at the Ethics Commission, and Deputy City Attorneys Brad Roussey and Kathleen Rades for their work on the legislation. And I see I have managed to take us past 2:30. So, Madam Clerk, can you please call our 2:30 special order?
Yes, today's 2:30 special order is a recognition of commendations.
All right, and first up, District 5, Supervisor Mahmoud.
Colleagues, in recognition of September being Recovery Month, I'm pleased to recognize Richard Beal, a remarkable community leader, author, and tireless advocate for recovery in San Francisco, especially in the Tenderloin. Richard, why don't you come to the podium? For nearly three decades, Richard has worked to ensure that the voices of those too often left out, individuals experiencing homelessness, those living with addiction, and those returning from incarceration are not just heard, but seen and connected to the institutions that shape public policy, healthcare, and housing in our city. Richard began his work in 1996 at St. Anthony's Foundation, where he first committed himself to service. He later joined the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinics, advancing from substance abuse counselor to center manager for its residential programs on Treasure Island. In 2010, he began managing the Roads to Recovery program for Centerpoint at County Jail No. 5, supporting individuals on their path from incarceration to reintegration, and later joining the Tenderloin Housing Clinic as the Director of Recovery Services. Richard has also shared his story with the world by authoring his book, Recovering from the Game, and co-founding BAD, Brothers Against Drug Deaths, an organization dedicated to saving lives and building stronger pathways to recovery. Several community members reached out to us to share their words of praise for Richard as well. Rudy Corpus of United Playas put it, "Richard is one of God's soldiers. He moves with the spirit of love in all he does." And the mayor of the Tenderloin, Del Seymour, said it best when he shared that Richard Beal is the Tenderloin's champion of recovery. He is truly boots on the ground. If we had more Richard Beals in our community, we would be in better shape. With 30 years of sobriety under his belt, Richard is a living testament to what's possible when we choose hope. He is someone who builds bridges from addiction to advocacy and from praying to purpose. Richard, thank you for continuing to show up for our communities day in, day out, and for helping so many San Franciscans find their way forward. Your work strengthens not only the Tenderloin, but the entire fabric of San Francisco. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Richard, before you speak, I just want to pile on. If Supervisor Dorsey were here, I know he would, and I know he's bummed that he's not, because he would also want to add on to this. Thank you, Supervisor Mahmoud, for this commendation. I feel like I have been a witness over these last 7 years of a real transformation in the conversation about recovery and how we prioritize recovery as a city that has impacted policy in deep ways and has impacted our Department of Public Health. And I think Richard Beal has been a big part of that. And it's been a joy, really, to see folks in the recovery community be able to come forward, organize themselves, and demand more and better than what the city had been offering, and to ask the city to have higher aspirations for people who use drugs, to get to something better than lifelong, as long as that may be, maintenance, but actually recovery and sobriety. And I think I just want to commend you. I feel like I've learned so much from you, and I think this is incredibly well deserved. So good for you, Richard Beal, and happy again, happy 30th Soberversity.
Soberversary. Good afternoon. First, I want to say, I want to open up with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I didn't know what it meant and how powerful that prayer was going to have on my life. I want to thank President Mandelman, the supervisors, distinguished guests, my friends and family, and community partners. I stand before you today with a heart full of gratitude to be recognized by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors for my work with unhoused, recovery, and reentry community over the last 30 years is a profound honor. When I first began this journey, it was never about awards or recognition. It was about survival, transformation, and service. I know firsthand the struggles of addiction, homelessness, and incarceration. I also know the power of recovery, community, and second chances. My life has been a blessed journey because of others believed in me when I couldn't believe in myself. It has been my mission ever since to give that same hope and opportunity to others. Over 3 decades, I've had the privilege of walking alongside thousands of men and women, helping them find housing, reconnect them with their families into recovery, and rebuild their lives. This work has only been possible because of the many organizations, advocates, and city partners who stand on the front lines every day. So this recognition is not mine alone. It belongs to all of us who believe that recovery is possible, that dignity is non-negotiable, and that every life has value. San Francisco is a city of resilience, compassion, and innovation. Together, we can continue to build pathways for those who are struggling, break cycles of homelessness and addiction, and create spaces where healing is possible. As the ambassador for recovery, I am grateful to be part of the Recovery First movement here in San Francisco. We need more treatment beds. We need drug-free housing, including drug-free permanent supportive housing. But most of all, we need to shut down these open-air drug markets. And to do this, y'all, we need to work together. It will take a collective effort. So to the Board of Supervisors, thank you for lifting up this work and affirming that recovery, housing, and reentry services matter. To my community, my colleagues, my family, my friends, thank you for always standing with me on this journey. I accept this recognition out of those who we have lost, and those still fighting, and those who remind us every day that change is possible. Thank you, and God bless.
And we were going to have a District 6 commendation, but Supervisor Dorsey is not able to do that, and I think District 9 we're not doing, right? Okay. So with that, Madam Clerk, why don't we go back to roll call?
Yes. Next up on roll call is Supervisor Melgar.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. Colleagues, I am proud to introduce, along with President Mandelman, Supervisors Chen, Fielder, Cheryl, Sauter, Walton, Dorsey, and Engardio, a resolution proclaiming September 27th through October 5th as Good Neighbor Week in the City and County of San Francisco. A neighbor is not just someone who lives next door or in your community. They are active participants in fostering understanding, respect, and a sense of belonging for all residents. National Good Neighbor Week is observed on September 28th and was proclaimed by President Jimmy Carter in 1978 and is celebrated in cities across the country. An inclusive city like ours already embodies the spirit of Good Neighbor Day through encouraging simple acts of kindness and community connection in all neighborhoods, but we can always do more to celebrate how everyday residents contribute to the fabric of our neighborhoods and do more to foster stronger bonds and bridges. Good Neighbor Week is a perfect opportunity for San Francisco residents to build on everyday acts of care, neighbors lending a hand, looking out for one another, and working together to build a more compassionate city. In 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General declared loneliness a public health crisis. And now, as we face a society that is growing more anxious with political divisiveness and toxicity, we need to connect with each other for the sake of our shared humanity. So I am very excited that there is an awesome team of founding partners organizing the very first official Good Neighbor Week here in San Francisco, including Julia Gittes, a District 7 resident and a founder of Community News Lab, who is here today. Please check out www.sfgoodneighborhoodweek.org to learn more about the nominations for the Good Neighbor Award events in your own neighborhood, including neighborhood cleanups, hackathons, scavenger hunts, community potlucks, game days, and more. However you celebrate, let this be a reminder to reach out to someone in your block who you haven't met, or catch up with a neighbor you haven't checked in on for a while. Let us mark this week, September 27th through October 5th, of Good Neighbor Week as a way to celebrate all the wonderful residents who bring joy and empathy in small ways and big ways to our city. The rest I submit.
Thank you, Supervisor Melgar. Supervisor Sauter. Thank you. Supervisor Cheryl.
Thank you. Before I start, I just wanted to thank Supervisor Melgar for introducing the Street Safety Act. I think it is a critical next step in our journey to ensuring the streets are safe, and I really look forward to working with you and with the rest of the board on that, as well as sidewalk safety, and as well as increased congestion as we think about the future of transportation in the city. The world around us is changing. AVs are growing, congestion is up, ride shares are up, commuters are down, yet the number of cars we have on our streets is higher than ever. We need to be robust in our thinking to increase safety, to make sure that families on all modes of transportation, whether it's cars or public transit or bikes, can get around smoothly. This is going to take an enormous amount of work, all of us together, I hope. And I just want to thank you for moving us forward on that first step for this next decade, which I think we all hope will be a safer, smoother decade than the one past. Second, I'm proud to introduce a resolution recognizing September 27th, 2025, as Chuseok Festival Day here in San Francisco. Chuseok, often called Korean Thanksgiving, is one of the most important holidays in Korean culture, celebrating the harvest, honoring ancestors, and sharing traditions with loved ones. With roots going back more than 2,000 years, it remains a vibrant holiday for Koreans and Korean Americans worldwide. San Francisco has long been a center of Korean-American history. The first Korean diplomatic delegation to the U.S. arrived here in 1883, and in 1909, the Korean National Association was founded in our city, guiding a community that has made immeasurable contributions ever since. I also want to express my gratitude to former Supervisor Catherine Stephanie, who began the tradition of recognizing Chuseok here at City Hall and laid the foundation for us to continue honoring this important cultural celebration. Now, this year is especially meaningful as we mark the 80th anniversary of Korea's Liberation Day and the 50th anniversary of the Korean Center Incorporated. For five decades, the center has preserved Korean heritage, provided critical services, and hosted the Bay Area Chuseok Festival, now in its seventh year at the Presidio. I want to thank the Korean Center and the Korean American community for their leadership and contributions to San Francisco, and perhaps above all, I encourage everybody to attend the festival on September 27th at the main lawn at the Presidio. It's going to be a fabulous day for families and for everybody, and frankly, I can't wait, and I hope to see all of you there. The rest I submit.
Thank you, Supervisor Sherrill. Supervisor Walton.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Colleagues, today I have an in memoriam to honor the life and legacy of Jacqueline, known as Jackie Cohen, a proud native San Franciscan and beloved member of the Bayview Hunters Point community, where she lived for over 40 years. Jackie began her career as a preschool teacher in the San Francisco Unified School District's Early Education Department. Later, she became a school bus driver in 1989, safely transporting hundreds of SFUSD students across the city. In 1999, Jackie co-founded 100% College Prep and the Bayview Association for Youth, organizations that have since become pillars in District 10. Through her tireless leadership, she helped hundreds of young people access higher education, preparing them not only for college, but also for careers and lifelong success. Jackie was a fierce advocate for youth and parent engagement. She created spaces for learning and connection, including the class Raising a Child in the Hip Hop Generation, and a dynamic youth-led musical showcase at the Ruth Williams Bayview Opera House. Her service extended well beyond these programs. Jackie also gave her time and leadership on community boards, including the Bayview Association for Youth, the Ruth Williams Bayview Opera House, and as the San Francisco Foundation Koshlin Fellow. Jackie's passion, creativity, and dedication left a lasting mark on our city. She uplifted young people, empowered parents, and strengthened the cultural and educational fabric of Bayview Hunters Point. I want to extend my deepest condolences to her family, friends, and colleagues. We commend Jackie Cohen for her decades of service and unwavering commitment to San Francisco youth and families. Her legacy will live on through every student who dared to dream of college, every parent she inspired, and every life she touched. The rest I submit.
Thank you, Supervisor Walton. Supervisor Chan. Thank you, Supervisor Chen. Thank you. Supervisor Engardio.
Thank you. Today, I ask that we adjourn this meeting in memory of Quang Huynh, a beloved community ambassador in the Outer Sunset. Our office is deeply saddened by his passing on July 24th in San Francisco, surrounded by his family. He was 60 years old. Born in Vietnam in 1965, Quang devoted his life to service, compassion, and community. For nearly a decade, he served as a community ambassador in both District 10 and the Outer Sunset, where he became a familiar and trusted presence and someone who made people feel safe, seen, and supported. In his role as a community ambassador at OSEA, Quang conducted wellness checks for individuals in public spaces, provided a safety presence near schools, and regularly escorted students to and from public outings. He offered directions, helped people find their way, and referred those in need to vital city services and resources. He made 311 reports, emergency calls, and did whatever was needed to keep his community safe and cared for. Quang was especially known for his kind interactions with children, the support he gave to elders and merchants, and the calm strength he brought to every situation. Quang's friends remember the meals he cooked, the things he quietly repaired, the rides he offered, and the countless ways he cared for those around him. Music was one of his great joys, and his guitar brought him peace and comfort and did the same for those lucky enough to hear him play. Quang is survived by his loving wife, his son Alex, and his daughter Tiffany, who will carry on his memory with strength and love. He's also survived by 8 of his 11 siblings, as well as many friends, coworkers, and community members whose lives were touched by his kindness. His legacy lives on in the many people he helped, protected, and loved. His team and fellow ambassadors are with us in the chamber today to remember the impact he had on each of them and our community. And the rest I submit.
Thank you, Supervisor Engardio. Supervisor Fielder. Thank you, Supervisor Mahmood. Thank you, Mr. President. That concludes the roll call for introductions.
All right, let's go to public comment.
At this time, the board welcomes your public comment. Please line up to your right-hand side of the chamber along the curtains. You may speak to items 32 through 37, the forward option without committee reference agenda, general matters that are not on today's published agenda, but within the board's subject matter jurisdiction. All other agenda content will have been reported out to the board by an appropriate committee where the public comment requirement occurred. Will the first speaker please come forward? You'll have 2 minutes.
Hello. Hi, supervisors. I'm Julia Geddes, the founder of San Francisco Good Neighbor Week and one of the YesSF nonprofit innovators this year. This is our first year in San Francisco celebrating National Good Neighbor Day, a holiday that, as Supervisor Melgar said, Jimmy Carter started in the 70s to elevate everyday acts of kindness in our communities. We'll be celebrating it the last week of September every year. I want to share 3 quick things, an update on the Good Neighbor Awards, an update on the events calendar, and plans for next year. On the Good Neighbor Awards, the nomination deadline was last week, and I extended it for a few neighborhoods who asked me for a few more days to get their nominations in. We already have over 160 nominees across all 11 districts. I want to thank all of you and your staff for helping promote the nomination form in your email newsletters and on social media. I can't wait for you to see the nominees. They're the most heartwarming stories, many of them you've probably heard of and some you haven't. I know many of you regularly offer commendations for your residents, and the Good Neighbor Awards give us another layer for that, in partnership with neighborhood groups who are committed to celebrating the winners. On the events calendar, we just published the calendar last night at sfgoodneighborweek.org/events. We have over 40 community partners from all 11 districts who are helping us organize events this year, from neighborhood scavenger hunts, community music hangouts, block parties, coffees, trash pickups, and the country's first Good Neighbor Hackathon. I have 8 local newsrooms organizing neighborhood listening sessions. I have neighborhood groups celebrating the Good Neighbor nominees from their communities at their events. For example, the Eureka Valley Neighborhood Association will be celebrating the Castro nominees at the Castro Street Fair on October 5th, etc. Thank you for promoting and attending these events and giving commendations or certificates of honor to the winners. Lastly, plans for next year. This year's Good Neighbor Week is coming together really quickly. I only found out this holiday existed a few months ago, so everyone who's telling me, this is last minute, it's last minute for me too. I've been telling all of our community partners that this year is a learning year for us to try something and see how it goes and then expand it in 2026. Does that mean it's the end?
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon. Attention, San Francisco Mayor Daniel Lurie and all members of Board of Supervisors. My name is Derek Locke. I'm a CEO of Project Meadow and ambassador of Nintendo. My job, in particular the CEO role, was given to me by referral by the co-founders. I was named CEO of Project Meadow by Louisa Mack, or Ma Ming Si. By title, she is revered as Miss Hong Kong, as an actress employed by TVB. She graduated with a law degree in 2014. After being with TVB for 4 years, she worked briefly in McKinsey. She later co-founded Project Meadow and left me in charge. Project Meadow is a charity powerhouse with top list of CEO sponsorship, with its mission to connect the youth and CEO through activities and dialogue. I'm here to proudly announce my commitment as a pivotal role as a company of CEO of Project Meadow. I'm here to commit report regularly here on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors weekly on my progress as CEO. And briefly, this message is for Lee Jin-in, also known as IU, pop star of South Korea. Last year, through the recommendation of CEO of Uber, Derek Khosrowshahi, I made a marriage proposal, and she has accepted my engagement. She met with me yesterday, September 13, 2025. I'm here to continue my commitment, and hopefully we'll get married and we'll have a great time together. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Leah McGeever. I have a couple poems that I wrote as a resident of San Francisco. Neuroconvergent fascists deny existence to us all. Lop off your brain on all six sides. Your cube brain conforms, converges. Neuroconvergent fascism. Unholy silence creeps carefully, recklessly now. Wrecking ball of silence demolishes those that stick out, those reaching for the stars, for a better life, for a better home to root in. Demolishes eccentricity, intellect, curiosity, compassion, empathy. Demolishes aspirations, enlightenment, hope. Lifeless rubble, concrete dust chokes your lungs. Survive among demolished dreams, skyline flattens. Unholy silence.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Hi, my name is Gavrila, and I am a state death penalty abolition coordinator for Amnesty International. And I want to quickly thank Supervisor Fielder and Walton for championing the Universal Clemency Resolution that I believe will be read a little bit later today. And I urge everyone to please call on Governor Newsom to commute everybody from our death row. We have the largest death row in the country, as we know, and we're at 201 exonerees. It is racist, classist, and arbitrary in nature. And I'm here to observe and thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Okay, I'm going to skip the pedophiles thing because, for now. The reason why you can't fake beauty is because you can't fake anything, intelligence, in the first place. So you have now two options. You either work for beauty, and you're going to achieve happiness, therefore justify your reason for being. At the end of your life, your soul will be back. Or you keep working for ugliness, darkness, unintelligence, and when you die, you're done. You never be back. Understand? It's clear. Now, let's make a... Otherwise, you get absolute incompetence. That's where you are, AI. Let's make an illusion, not to be confused with an illusion. No one dies with closed eyes, no one, including bad actors from Hollywood. Oh. So when something eats you, the first thing you do is this. When you are taken by surprise, you certainly don't keep your eyes closed. You understand? So you pay attention to what happened recently, and you reach a conclusion. There is some fake going on, clearly, because you think you can achieve your ugliness and be happy with it. Sorry, it doesn't work. These are the rules of existence, which rely on self-control.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Good afternoon, Board of Supervisors, President Mandelman. My name is Richard S.D. Peterson, and I'm here again to talk about parcel taxes because nobody seems to know what parcel taxes really are about. The best I've been able to find so far is not help from the city, but from some private organization called Fix Prop 19. I haven't really looked up Prop 19, but we have to ask the University of California, San Francisco, Hastings, to give us an opinion on what parcel taxes are and how are they based. Is it a flat tax rate per parcel? Is it a square foot tax, the tax calculated based on the square footage? Is it a number of units in a particular building? Is it the type of property, commercial or private? Nobody seems to really know these questions, and everybody says, well, a parcel tax is not going to really hurt you. You know, the West Side is the one that's going to be supporting the downtown interests for a parcel tax. And for someone to say, well, if you bought a house down on the West Side, it's probably worth $1 million now, and you can sell it, and you can move and get out of here, get out of the town, go wherever you want. But the reality is people who bought homes in San Francisco want to stay, and they'll do anything in their power to try and stay, including renting a room, getting involved with roommates and Airbnb, and that's a great example, Airbnb. So please, don't be disingenuous about the people trying to stay in San Francisco and live the rest of their life here. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Perfect timing. Good afternoon, Board of Supervisors. For the record, my name is Chris Ward Klein. I also go by Sergeant Klein of the United States Marine Corps. The last name is spelled K-L-I-N-E. And I wanted to talk a little bit, not too much, about the 70s and violence. In the 70s, Pink Floyd released a song, Another Brick in the Wall, Part 2, and portions of that song were redacted about thought control. Also talked about education, and it also talked about dark sarcasm. So thought control is the ability to use surveillance systems, political surveillance, to cause political violence. And we've seen a lot of that lately. And it's got to stop. I grew up in the 70s. It was very painful to watch. It's very painful to watch today. So the dark sarcasm is when you talk at the police commission, the health commission, this body, you talk about surveillance, everybody turns a blind eye. And everybody in this room, the health commission, the police department, the police commission knows what surveillance is. The dark sarcasm is that everyone is using it for political surveillance to cause political violence. And that's all I want to talk about, violence. We all know the report was filed. We all know the violence. We all seen that. The next couple days, the next couple weeks, couple months, I need everybody in this room to focus on peace. There's going to be a lot of negative stories out there. There already has been. We need to bring back the parades, the picnics, the street festivals. Everybody in this room needs to work together to bring San Francisco back to where it was. I moved to San Francisco because of that feeling. I felt welcomed here when I first moved here in 2001. So please work together. I know surveillance is a needed necessity, but you have to limit it. You cannot use it 24/7, especially on people that you do not like, your opponents and your dissidents. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Yes, good evening, supervisors. This is Ace Washington, the Fillmore Corridor Ambassador. I'm just here speaking on the Fillmore, but before I do that, I would just like to say I'm not showboating. I've been videotaping Board of Supervisors for years. Let me just give you a little history. The San Francisco Government Channel, no, that wasn't the first ones that videotaped the Board of Supervisors. It was Ace on the case and us black media people. When we worked at Channel 29, we came down here with our video cameras, videotaped the Board of Supervisors before there was a government channel, before all of that, before there was internet, before there was Facebook and all that. We created it, the black media. Ace owned the doggone case. But I'm here to talk about the Fillmore. As you may or may not know, next week, the mayor and our supervisor, District 5, will be having a meet and greet situation at the Fillmore Fillmore, what is it, West Bay, and want to invite everybody to come down. You'll see flyers and stuff. I think it's a greet and meet and talk to the supervisor and the mayor what problems you have in the Western District. I'm so proud. I'm tickled. No, I'm not tickled pink. I'm tickled black right now. I'm so happy that this is taking place. And this comes from my lobbying from the supervisor and the mayor. I'm pleased. I have good vibes, and I think it's going to be a great meeting. It's going to be sit down. We get to talk to the supervisors and the mayor in person. I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. I'm saying, what if 100 or so people show up? They're going to sit down and talk to individuals. I'm not sure what it is, but my name is Ace, and I'm on the case. I'll be there. And I also want to say that I will be doing our second tour. Our first tour took place on the 6th of September, very successful, but our second tour is going to be coming up on October the 11th, so stay tuned for that. But I just want to thank my supervisor for getting together, partnering up with the mayor. I think he cares. And he may be a millionaire, he might be a billionaire, but I think he still cares. Hey, I'm just being facetious. Live and direct, and you know what? You don't have to adjust your set. My name is Ace, and I'm on the case. Thank you very much. Live.
Ma'am, did you do... Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Left, but, you know, I asked four people if their preacher prayed for Charlie Kirk's family or mentioned Charlie Kirk. You know, when our first martyr was killed... devout men made great lamentation, you know, but a lot of preachers aren't very devout. And I know I wept when John MacArthur died quite a bit, but, you know, it's really sad. I go to Grace Bible Church in Hayward, and he didn't mention it a peep. My wife goes to Covenant Presbyterian Church, and before she left, I said, you know what, I'll bet you the preacher doesn't even mention Charlie Kirk, and I was right. And, it's really sad. I asked three other people, and all of them said no. They didn't even mention him, didn't pray for him. I know Benny Johnson says, find a new church, you know. I know all Christians are pathetic. Really, they are. I am. I mean, it's only by God's grace I'm saved, but it doesn't negate the fact that he was murdered and for his faith, and it bears repetition, that Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried and he was raised from the dead the third day, according to the scriptures. David said, and by the way, David did not live 1,000 years after Jesus Christ. He was 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. There's a chronology. Solomon did not live 950 years after Jesus, right? These were predictions prior to the fact. And he said, thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave, neither wilt thou suffer or allow thy Holy One to see corruption. And Jesus raised from the dead. He showed himself alive. For 40 days he ascended up. And I find it very interesting that it's been 40 jubilees. He's coming soon. 9/11 was the sixth trumpet. It is so easy to understand. The month Elul, it happened on the Hebrew calendar.
Next speaker. Are there any other individuals who would like to provide public comment today? Please come forward now.
Good afternoon. I just want to assure that this is open just to make a comment. Any comment? Yes, thank you so much. I want to bring it to your attention. I'm a co-chair of the Behavioral Health Commission. And on March 5th, I went in front of the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force to retrieve a thread of emails that made derogatory comments towards me, threats that I was going to blow up City Hall by a commissioner, Alex Humphrey. This has not been addressed by the commission. And when I went in front of the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force, I was laughed at. Their mics were hot. And so it's on record. And I was laughed at. They told me to adjudicate anything and get her out of here. Here she is again. This is how she always shows up. And then they laughed and publicly told me that eggs are expensive, but scrambled brains are in front of us. I was told by Clerk Cavillo that you received this letter of rebuttal and I haven't heard a response from you. So I'm formally asking that Chair Yankee, Member Pipelow, and Chris Hyland be up and be questioned, and that their positions are not reappointed. As a city official under the Behavioral Health Commission, I take it the utmost importance to show up. I show up the same all the time. You might not always like what I have to say, but what I say is for the people, by the people, and of the people, and I stand for those with mental health challenges, and I refuse to be ridiculed by the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force. So I ask that you take prompt attention and please respond to my rebuttal. With gratitude, thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Seeing no other speakers, Mr. President.
All right, public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, let's go to our for adoption without committee reference agenda, items 32 through 37.
Yes, items 32 through 37 were introduced for adoption, but without committee reference. A unanimous vote is required for adoption of a resolution on first appearance today. Alternatively, a member may require a resolution on first appearance to go to committee.
Supervisor Melgar.
I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor to 32, please, and sever 34.
Yep, sever 34. All right. So on the balance of the items, Madam Clerk, could you call the roll?
Yes. On items 32, 33, 35, 36, and 37, Supervisor Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Supervisor Melgar. Melgar, aye. Supervisor Sauter.
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Supervisor Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Supervisor Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. Supervisor Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. Supervisor Chen. Chen, aye. Supervisor Engardio.
Aye.
Engardio, aye. Supervisor Fielder. Fielder, aye. Supervisor Mahmood. Mahmood, aye. There are 10 ayes.
Without objection, the resolutions are adopted, and the motion is approved. Madam Clerk, could you please call item 34?
Item 34 is a resolution to declare September 15th through October 15th, 2025, as Latin Heritage Month in the City and County of San Francisco to honor and to celebrate the contributions of the Latin community.
Supervisor Melgar.
Thank you so much, President Mandelman. Colleagues, I am honored to introduce a resolution proclaiming September 15th through October 15th, 2025 as Latinx Heritage Month in the City and County of San Francisco. This resolution is an annual tradition now. In this year, I'm so pleased to have another Latina on the board to celebrate with and to carry on this tradition when I'm termed out. So thank you, Jackie, for all you do to uplift and inspire our Latinx communities in San Francisco and for carrying on a tradition of leadership in our community and a new generation. So I'm so grateful that you're here. This year, I'm also devastated that we are forced to defend our human rights in existence and to have to remind our fellow Americans not just of our humanity, but of the invaluable contributions of Latinx communities, whether growing our food, caring for our children, our elders, welcoming our visitors, building our housing, governing our city, Latinx people truly keep San Francisco running. I'm also reminded that our economic recovery cannot be successful, is not possible without the countless members of our Latinx community here in San Francisco, throughout the Bay Area, in California, and in our country. San Francisco has always been and always will be the haven for immigrants from all over the world, but from Latin America, and particularly from our foundation as a city, who bring traditions and innovations, build this country, found new businesses, and have always significantly shaped the city's identity and growth for the better. During a time of heightened political uncertainty for our city's immigrants, I am confident that my colleagues and I all agree that San Francisco is committed to protecting and upholding the rights of all members of the Latinx community. Thank you so much for your support, colleagues.
Supervisor Fielder.
Thank you, President Mandelman. Thank you so much, Supervisor Melgar, for introducing this resolution and for long before me and your role at planning and in the community and in the mission for really representing, especially Latino women. And it's been an honor to serve alongside you. Thank you for having the BLA put a number on our contribution to the city. And so with that, I'm glad we also have not one, but two Latino women on this board to celebrate this month. And I think it's very cool. We get to celebrate both of our mother countries' Independence Days on the same day. So I'm very proud to be Mexican-American, be the first Latina woman to represent District 9. My grandparents on my mother's side were from Monterrey, Mexico. They came to the U.S. for a better life, like many families. My grandmother, when she wasn't working to raise four kids, she would pack See's candy in factory and other factory jobs and take care of folks in the neighborhood as well as her own family. And my grandpa started out as a farm worker, picking oranges in the orange groves of Southern California, and later would tailor suits for a living. And though I never got the chance to grow up with them, my grandparents' values of hard work and community service was instilled in me from a young age through my mom. I'm the proud daughter of a single mom, a loud Latino woman, and it is all of their legacy that I seek to honor in my role here at the Board of Supervisors and in fighting for the most vulnerable and especially working class Latinos. San Francisco has long been a home and a beacon for our Latino community where families, businesses, and our culture thrives. The Latino community plays an important role in our economy as essential workers, also as owners, entrepreneurs, innovators, and of course, caretakers for many folks in San Francisco. From the street vendors along Mission and 24th, 16th, to the vibrant murals of Balmy Alley, to the Mission Cultural Center for Latino Arts that is home to thousands of Latinos practicing our arts and our music, dance, to the generations of families who have built the city alongside newcomers arriving with a shared sense of hope. This month is a time to celebrate these contributions, our achievements, perseverance, and creativity, and to honor the leaders, artists, and activists whose work keeps our neighborhoods vibrant. From organizers on the ground with the Latino Task Force, Mission Neighborhood Centers, Mission Action, to those advocating for housing, immigrants' rights, climate justice, and defending our democracy all at the same time. It's also a moment to remember our struggles and recommit ourselves to the fight ahead, as our heritage has always been one of turning pain into power and exclusion into belonging. San Francisco is stronger because of our diversity, and as a representative on this board, I'm committed to ensuring with all of my colleagues that our city continues to be a place where everyone belongs, a true sanctuary city for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisors Melgar and Fielder. And I think we can take this item, same house, same call, without objection. The resolution is adopted. And Madam Clerk, do we have any imperative agenda items?
We have no imperative agenda items today, Mr. President.
Could you read the in memoriams?
Yes, today's meeting will be adjourned in memory of the following beloved individuals. On behalf of President Mandelman, for the late Mr. Raven Sorrell. On behalf of Supervisor Walton, for the late Ms. Jacqueline Jackie Cohen. And on behalf of Supervisor Engardio, for the late Mr. Quang Nguyen.
And I think that brings us to the end of our agenda. Madam Clerk, is there any further business before us today?
That concludes our business for today.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. As there's no further business, we are adjourned.